put the words in my mouth you want. Take the ones out that you don't care for, Lord. And I thank you for blessing, blessing, blessing over this house. And God, every house represented here in Jesus' name. How many churches we got represented here? Where do you guys go? Shelbyville, Kentucky. Praise the Lord. First Baptist. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Georgetown. And Roseville, Michigan. Praise the Lord. Jacob's Well. Praise the Lord. Awesome. This is great. Thank y'all for, tell your pastor, thank you for releasing y'all for, yes. And we've got Church of Restoration. Not Church of Restoration, but Restoration Christian Church. And we've got, what's the name of your church, Pastor, in Haiti? Mission du Redemptor. And did you notice, did y'all pick up any words when he was speaking the Lord's Supper? I kept hearing mercy, mercy. Now what? Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I heard JC, which I know is Jesus, and I just kept hearing all these familiar, because we was blessed to get to go to Haiti, and I learned how to say praise the Lord, right? Benny swallowed the nail. Benny swatted to nail. That's how you say praise the Lord in Haitian. When I say three, everybody say it with passion. One, two, three. Benny swatted to nail. Come on, one more time. One, two, three. Benny swatted to nail. See, he's getting into it, man. Praise the Lord. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying all this, but they are blessed. They are blessed in Haiti. They're blessed. Even though they were cursed when they made the government, not the people, but the government made a vow with Satan if they would deliver them from Napoleon, they'd serve him, right? Something like that. Well, Napoleon got his tail kicked, and I was on the mountain where it happened, and pretty incredible stuff, but I think I don't know who's in power right now because I know that changes a lot. But I know there was a guy there last I knew that was calling pastors to come to a prayer meeting. Is that true? Yeah. And they wanted the blessings of God over Haiti. And we want to see revival in Haiti. Praise the Lord. So all these nations that we've represented. So God wants to bless, doesn't He? And I was thinking, I already had something prepared this morning, so I'm going to be really quick. Really quick. Don't smile at me like that. But I had something already prepared, and I didn't have much time to prepare this because I just thought about it this morning. But this blessing, you see, lots of times, like with Ava this morning, which was a wonderful thing to do. It's doing what God says to do. But we let it stop at an event or a time instead of walking in blessings. Amen. You know, we don't walk in it daily. And Jesus had a whole lot to say about blessings, didn't He? I want to go to a story. A lot of blessings in the Old Testament, isn't there? Go to Genesis 24, if you've got your Bible or your telephone or whatever you've got it on. This starts out with Abraham. Abraham wanted his son, who? Y'all remember? Isaac. Abraham wanted his son Isaac to not marry a Canaanite woman. And Canaanites were known for what? Idol worship, idolatry, perversion, kind of like what surrounds us in America sometimes, And that's a blessing. We also bless you, Ava, that you will only marry the man of God that God is preparing for you right now in Jesus' name. But that he would not marry a Canaanite woman. And he sent his servant, I can't think of his name, Elkanah maybe. He sent his servant, his oldest, most trusted servant, he sent him off to where he was from, and he wanted the servant to pick out a wife for Isaac. See, they did it a little bit different back then. And so his servant got to this town, and I can't remember the name of the town, but he went into the square where the fountain was, where they got their water. And even in Haiti now, these little villages where they have built wells and pumps, that's where people go get their water. There's still places like that. So he went to the well and he said, "Lord, I'll ask the one if she'll give me a drink of water. And not only will she give me a drink of water, she'll say, can I water your camels also?" So what happened was, he said this to the first young lady, I think, that came along, and she did that. She responded, "Yes, and I'll water your camels also," and her name was Rebecca. And so, praise the Lord, he said, you are the one. Went and met the father. The father said, "Hey, you know, that's good. Come on in. We'll take care of your animals. We'll feed them. We'll have a little deal. You can stay here 10 days, I think." He said, no, my master wants me to bring this young lady home right now." He's going, "Okay, we'll go ask her, and if she wants to go right now, she can go." I mean, it's kind of weird, isn't it? Your daughter just whoosh, gone. And the daughter said, "Yes, I'll go." And so through all this, just let me read you something. Y'all got it. You got Genesis 24. Go to verse 60. 59. Let's make it 57. No, let's make it 56. Let's get the whole meaning of this. I'm sorry. Y'all let me know when you got it. You got it? "And he said to them, 'Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master.' So they said, 'We will call the young woman and ask her personally.' Then they called Rebekah and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.' So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, Our sister, may you become the mother.'" Now this is a blessing. This is not a prayer. This is a blessing that they're speaking over this young lady. "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands." In the King James, I think it says thousands of millions. "And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." So Rebecca and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. And of course, Isaac saw her and fell madly in love with her. And God started fulfilling these thousands and tens of thousands and millions through these 12 sons. He moved mightily over this blessing. You could say, well, it would have happened whether they were blessed or not. I don't know if it would have. But they were blessed. And if you look at this blessing, Israel has prospered and prospered and prospered. And if you read that verse, what it's saying is, and even when she is surrounded by enemies, she will prosper. Let me read that again. "The mother of thousands and ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Israel is surrounded by millions and millions of people who hate them, and their whole goal is for their total destruction. Not to live in peace and co-dwell, it's for their total destruction. But yet, God's blessing is on them, and we know that the Jews will never cease to exist. The Jews will be a big part in the last day move of God. It says 144,000 of them will go out and minister in great power. See, that's got to happen. So that blessing has been honored, and it will be honored to the end of time. And that's the thing about a blessing. It don't just stop. It goes on and on and on. Man, I don't know about your family. You know, I know some of y'all didn't grow up probably in the best families. Some of y'all didn't grow up in great Leave It to Beaver homes, but some of you did. I know my mom and dad, you know, they were church people. They were saved, but it wasn't, you know, it was, since their radical son would have needed more than that, that's probably why I ended up with you guys. But, you know, I'm blessed. If my father had not loved Jesus, I still would have been blessed. My dad was blessed to always work. He was always faithful to his wife. He took care of his money. He did things in order. He took care of business, whether at the house. And that's a blessing that has been laid down on me. And I have the blessings of my mother. And I remember when I heard a teaching on blessing one time by John Kilpatrick, he said, bless your children. And if you are a son or a daughter, go ask for your father to bless you. And that's something we don't think of in America. But I went to my dad, and he was kind of stoic like most Christians were in that day and age. You know, just most people were like that. If you go back a generation before that, I'm just telling you the truth. If you look at pictures of my great-grandparents, you'll notice in a picture, they're always, nobody smiles. You didn't smile if you was a real man back then. So you just Clint Eastwood them. So my dad, he's like that. My dad, I can't remember him saying, I love you, Mark. I knew he loved me, but it wasn't something that was talked about around the house. You just didn't do that. And I knew I was loved. That was not a problem. That was more loving than, I love you, son, and then beating the fire out of you and, you know, doing something. But anyway, I said, Dad, I've been studying the Bible, and I want you to bless me. He said, well, what do you mean, Mark? I said, I want you to put your hand on my head and speak a blessing over me. He's like, well, how do I do that? I said, just, and his hand's so big it wraps all the way around your head, my head. So he just laid his hand on my head and he said, Lord Jesus, which my dad would have never said that. It was supernatural. Lord Jesus, bless my son Mark and bless him in all that he does. I'm thinking, my dad's not really saying this. And he did. And you know what? I am blessed. I am blessed. God has blessed me, and there's more blessings to come. But the thing is, some of y'all trying to outrun the curses. Because you can grow up with curses on you. Amen? I wish I'd had time. I would have looked up Jonathan Edwards. Boy, y'all could probably even find that for me real quick, but we're not going to take time to read it. But Jonathan Edwards, he was a mighty, mighty preacher of the gospel and had a lot to do with, I think it was the First Great Awakening, just powerful things. And they did a research and they looked at his lineage and they went, I forget how many generations, but there was hundreds and hundreds of people. There was not one person who was convicted of a crime. There was not one person who was a drunkard. There was not one person, I mean, there was no negative fruit in that whole line. And there was senators, there was judges, there was preachers, there was pastors, there was evangelists. And that whole bloodline was blessed. So I'm telling you, there's something about a blessing. But if you came out of a curse, you know what? You need to renounce that curse. That's not who I am. Because the Bible says when you come to Jesus, old things are passed away and everything's become new. You've got to walk out of that curse, Sarah, and you come from a blessed line. So I'm not, but it wasn't always like that, was it, Sarah? Nina is blessed because Nina chose to follow Jesus. Nina chose to do the things of God, and she can tell you some things about her family lineage, right? And you can look at other sisters and brothers, and it ain't that way. And I'm not throwing dirt. I'm just saying, because Nina made the choice to walk out of that and say, no, it stops here. It stops here. And see, that's what you got to do. You got to make a choice that it stops here. And there's a power of blessing. Jesus, like I said, he started out Sermon on the Mount. He started out with what? Blessed are those. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. And he said something else interesting I was thinking about this morning. And we say it all the time, and we just kind of blow it off as a scripture. Just something to get us back in line when we're starting to falter a little bit. Blessed are those who curse you. Blessed are you when people say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. There's something about blessing people that curse you. Amen? Does it free you? Have you ever forgiven someone who cursed you? Have y'all ever done that? Well, if you haven't, you need to get up here to the altar and repent right now. If you've been walking with Jesus more than 10 minutes, somebody has offended you. Is that true? Is that true? And with some old heathen at work or something, you really ought to be able to just blow it right off because they're just doing what they're supposed to do. Heathens are going to offend you. Heathens are going to hurt you. But boy, when it happens in the house of God, hello, when it happens in the church, that's where the test is. That's where the test is. Like I say, you know, lost people, not only did they burn you, but they're trying to figure out how they can do it again tomorrow. But in the house of God, that's when it takes a real consecration to forgive. And not only forgive, but to bless. And I've had, you know, I don't know, I don't even want to ask them for no survey, but if you've ever been through any kind of church turmoil or split, you know that's the deepest, deepest wound you can have. And probably the pastor, you know, takes an even harder hit. But you know, I think I struggle with forgiveness, and you know you're struggling with forgiveness when somebody starts talking about it and bing, this person or people pop in your mind. Well, that's where it's at. That's where you're having trouble. And so recently somebody spoke a prophetic word over me. Oh, it's been a little while. But they said, you need to start praying for this person every day. And boy, they were right on target. They were right on target because it was the one that always come to the top of the list. And I'm kind of like, okay, I'll pray, you know. I guess I should. I know you hear from the Lord. But I really didn't want to, honestly. I really didn't want to. And so I started praying every day for him. I didn't even know what to pray for him. So, you know, one day the Lord showed me, he said, what do you want in your Christian life? What do you want to see? I said, well, I want to see a lot of souls. I want to see revival. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see the dead raised. You know, there's a number of things I want to see God do in my life and in this church's life. And the Lord, it was almost like he said, then son, that's what you need to pray for this person, that they will see all these things and be blessed with all these things. And I started blessing them every day. And at first it was like, bless them, God, you know, bless them, you know, do something for them, as long as I'm not involved. No, really, I mean, you know, it wasn't a good attitude, but it was still blessing. Bless them, Jesus, bless them, Jesus, bless them, Jesus. And now it's getting kind of fun because I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what God's going to do to bless them, you know. And I'm going to rejoice when he does because I know if he blesses them, I get my blessing too. So God is good. God is good. And I just, you know, I'd like to read you a lot of scripture about blessings. But I just want to say one, I never looked at this verse like this till this morning, I think. But John 3:16 says, let's do it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, shall have everlasting life. You know, I was thinking this morning, for God so loved the world that he blessed the world He blessed the world when he sent Jesus. He blessed the world. So we're blessed. If we've received that sacrifice, we are blessed. And that's why when you first accept Jesus, you know, you're like, I just love everybody. Did y'all experience that, man? I did. I just loved everybody. The creeps at work, the people I couldn't stand, the bosses that were just rawr, you know. I started loving them. And Janet, you know what? I'd come up to them in the hall and I'd go, how you doing? And they're like, this guy must have a gun, you know, because he don't do this. And I mean, you just start loving everybody because you have no guard, right? You're not guarded about anything because you're free and you're whole and you're forgiven and you've forgiven. There may be some things you still got to deal with, but for the most part, you're free. So what happens is you can get cold love. And if you look in Revelations, it says you can get that cold love, and that cold love can bring you down. That cold love can make you ineffective. That cold love can make you a jerk. That cold love can make you religious. And Lord Jesus, we do not want cold love, God. We want to be red hot, on fire, white hot for Jesus. Amen? So if you're not born again, that's where you got to start, because you'll never get it until Jesus comes and lives in you and dwells in you. But when you get that, you got to take it and you got to run with it. You can't let that love grow cold, man. You got to keep an account with Jesus of blessings. You got to bless people. You got to bless situations. He told me this morning, he said, start blessing these chairs. Bless these chairs to be filled in Jesus' name. Bless that drum set to have a drummer, because you didn't put it up there for looks. We bless that drummer that's already been called out of the wings. We bless our home in Jesus' name. We bless prosperity on our family in Jesus' name. We bless the lost that come in here every week at Food Pantry. We bless them with salvation. We bless them that they'll hook up in Jesus' name. Let's stand up. Believe it or not, I'm closing. I told you to be quick. Now, y'all might not think that was quick, but that was quick. That was real quick. Real quick. Did you say it was quick? In fact, the kid, you're going to have to wait for the kids this morning. I think so. You know, that's a couple of prerequisites to revival. Number one, prayer. And I know a couple of the intercessors have been hearing, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's time to pray, it's time to pray, it's time to pray. And the second one is blessings. Because if you want something changed, stop cursing it. If you want something to stop to change, stop cursing it and start blessing it. Sometimes we want something changed and we call it prayer, but we're just belly aching to God. That's not what it's about. It's blessing situations that aren't right. So I want y'all to receive. I'd like y'all to go home. I just want to give you some homework. I want you to go home and get you some olive oil or motor oil or whatever you want to get, STP, and I want you to go through the house and start on your doorpost to your rooms, just start blessing it. I bless my home with peace. I bless my home with the power of God. I bless my home with salvation. I bless my home with prosperity. Just start blessing. Say, curses, demons, I command you to leave my house. You have no place here. The blood of Jesus is on these doorposts. I know, I told you I was closing. I got to tell you, I'm going to make you stand for a minute. Who is it? Every time somebody comes in our house, this true, they go, it is so peaceful in here. It's just, we feel peace even when we pull up on your property line. Now, people's known me for a long time, not so much, but people that's never been there. And you go, why is that? Well, When we found out about Jesus and what he wanted to do, we went out and we anointed all the property lines. We walked that 29 acres out, that property line. And we started going to the four corners of the house and blessing it. But this was a new house we built. So when we built it, God told me to do something really weird, Tim. It's a berm house, and there's a big, huge 80-foot concrete wall in the back before anything's built. He said, I want you to take some black paint and a brush, and I want you to paint scriptures all the way down that 80-foot wall. I just was being obedient. I thought it was, you know, why not? If he tells you to do it, you're stupid if you don't. That's probably unkind. That's not blessings. So I did. And so these framers come out, and they pulled up that day to look at the job, and they go, whoa. I mean, you can tell it's like, oh, what have we got into? You know, one of them came to Jesus before the job was over. And you know how construction crews are, don't you? Yeah, they're kind of, yeah, like I was. Another one, years before, had been called to preach, but he'd run away from it. He quit working for this guy and goes to seminary. And because I know it's because when they go in there, they're reading all this scripture. You know, every day. And I believe because that scripture's on the walls, I believe that it was a dedicated place. Now, you don't have to rip your drywall out. But I'm just saying, God honors, when we bless things, He honors that. So I want to bless y'all. And please don't think this is like Reverend Mark is going to bless you. I want to pray a blessing on you, a pastoral blessing. I'm not some of y'all's pastors, and that's okay, but I just want to pray a blessing on you. And when you're praying a blessing, you go like this. But when you're receiving a blessing, you go like,
I receive.
So if you choose to receive this blessing, you can hold your hands out appropriately. If you don't care to be blessed, praise the Lord. No. Let's receive this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the promises of God, which are yes and amen. The Holy Spirit make you healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit to move in faith and expectancy. May God's angels be with you to protect you and keep you. Be blessed with supernatural strength to turn your eyes, from foolish, worthless, and evil things. Instead, may you behold the beauty of the things God has planned for you as you obey His word. I bless your ears to hear the lovely, the uplifting, and the encouraging, and to shut out the demeaning and the negative. May your feet walk in holiness and your steps be ordered by the Lord. May your hands be tender, helping hands to those in need, hands that bless. May your heart be humble and receptive to one another and to the things of God and not to the world. May your mind be strong, disciplined, balanced, and faith-filled. God's grace be upon your home, that it may be a sanctuary of rest and renewal, a haven of peace where sounds of joy and laughter grace its walls, where love and unconditional acceptance of one another is consistent. God give you success and prosperity in your business, in your places of work, as you acknowledge and obey the imperative of the Scripture concerning the tithe. God give you spiritual strength to overcome the evil one and avoid temptation. God's grace be upon you to fulfill your dreams and visions. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord to make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you all in Jesus' name. Now you be blessed and bless somebody. Grab somebody and bless them and love on them. And if anybody needs prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you. You can hang around long as you want, or you can go get some food, you know. Sorry, they'll probably still be crowded today, but bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Glenna, you got a word of encouragement, testimony? You want to tell us about it real quick? You feel a lot of freedom. Praise the Lord. This young lady's brand new. I say brand new. How old are you? 6 months? 6 months old? 6 or 7 months old? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just absorbing and soaking up the things of God. It was an honor having y'all all here today. Praise the Lord. Bless Michigan with revival in Jesus' name.